Welcome to It's About Time. This is a show where we discuss overscheduling, overwork, overconsumption, and time poverty. Today, our guest is Etta Kralovec. She's the author of The End of Homework, How Homework Disrupts Families, Overburdens Children, and Limits Learning. Stay tuned for that discussion after a short break. Welcome back to It's About Time. Today we're being joined by Etta Kralovec, an assistant professor at the University of Arizona. She received her PhD in philosophy and education from Teachers College at Columbia University. She's the author of several books, including The End of Homework and Schools That Do Too Much. We're pleased to have her join us today to discuss the question of homework. Thank you so much for joining me today.
And thank you for having me.
Tell us what you see as some of the myths about homework that we all, or that a lot of us hold.
Well, I think first and foremost, there is the myth that homework develops a kind of discipline in students. And so I think parents are very concerned to make certain that their kids have their nose to the grindstone, so to speak. And homework is seen as part of that kind of package of the hardworking student. And we found, frankly, that actually, you know, kids learn a lot of things when they do homework. They learn how to cheat. They learn how to get by. They learn how to download papers from the Internet. They learn how to, you know, do half the problems and their friends do the other half. So this idea that there's kind of a discipline-building quality to homework, I think, is perhaps the greatest myth about homework, that parents think it's good for their kids.
Mm-hmm.
I think another myth about homework that's maybe harder to swallow, but the most contentious myth, has to do with academic achievement. And there, you know, that's kind of where educational researchers debate homework, whether or not it contributes to academic achievement. And I think there's a very clear research that says at the elementary level, homework actually is counterproductive for kids because of this sort of kids get sated at school and there's only so much time they can spend sitting down with a pencil in their hand. The larger question comes when we get to the middle and high school levels and people begin to believe that homework contributes to academic achievement rates. Now, there's no doubt that kids in high school, for example, who do more homework get higher grades.
Mm-hmm.
But some of us believe that if you also looked at teeth brushing patterns, you would find that kids who get good grades probably brush their teeth more just because they're in a more routinized, systematic life than other kids. And so we wouldn't say that brushing your teeth or making your bed contributes to increased academic achievement rates, even though there may be a pattern of behaviors that kids who do well in school demonstrate.
Getting good grades doesn't mean that they're learning more or enjoying learning, right?
Well, you know, people, right now we're in a sort of a historical period where the idea of enjoying learning isn't part of the conversation.
Okay.
You know, the idea is academic achievement rates, and we're not really... I think the pendulum may be swinging back, but we don't really talk about that much right now.
Okay, interesting. And something I read that really struck me was this idea that children, just like adults, when they know there's an end to their day of learning or of working, that they feel more motivated or they do better knowing that there's some kind of cap at the end rather than it just goes on and on.
Well, I mean, I don't think there's any research that looks at that, but certainly I think anecdotally as parents, we know that to be the fact that, you know, kids, I mean, anybody who's raised a child knows that when the end is in sight and where the kid understands the boundaries of something, it's a very different experience than if they're just in the middle of something where they think they're just constantly treading water, which is really what happens with homework.
Right, right. I mean, that's what I worry about, that we're creating like little workaholics. They work for 6 or 7 hours at school, then they come home and they have to work 3, 4 more hours, and it just seems so unbalanced and not what I want for my own life as an adult. So why would I want that for my child?
Well, you know, in our book, The End of Homework, my co-author was a political economist, and in a chapter that was primarily his, he talked a lot about the connection between sort of the corporate culture of American life today and how there's an expectation on the part of employers that employees work all the time. You know, we have email at home, we have cell phones. I mean, sort of our work lives don't end in a probably a very destructive way, but it seems to be the case for a lot of us that we work, you know, 24/7. And homework is part of that corporate culture. And you will hear, I mean, I hear all the time when I speak in communities that people believe kids need to be trained for that.
Right.
In the same way that at the early part of the 20th century, we built schools that looked like factories because we believed kids need to learn how to work in factories. So schools had bells, they had short lunch hours, they were run like factories.
Huh.
And now people don't work in factories, but they kind of have an endless work day. And homework is maybe part of that corporate culture that people think kids need to be trained into.
Right. And our schools do still look a little like factories, don't they?
Yeah, the old ones too.
They still respond to the bells. And
right.
I thought it was so interesting to read that in the 1930s that people were saying that homework, well, some people, was like child labor and that it was, you know, very destructive for children.
Well, you know, I think the history of homework is very instructive because I think, you know, when we're in the middle of it, we don't realize that there's another way to think about all these things. And, you know, in 1905, the state of California had written into its civil code that no student under the age of 15 would be assigned homework. And in the early 20s, there was a Physicians Against Homework society, because physicians believed kids needed between, and I want people to understand what this means, needed between 5 and 6 hours a day of fresh air and sunshine. Now, when we think of that, it's almost impossible for us to even imagine that kids would be outside 5 or 6 hours a day.
Right.
But there was a time when we believed that kids' health, the condition of their skin, their eyes, all those things required that kind of outside fresh air and sunshine. So it hasn't always been that we've believed that kids needed to work really hard, I guess, is an important thing for us to understand, that there's another way to think about childhood.
Right, right. Now, this is really a controversial issue, right? This really gets people going. tell me a little about what the opponents of what you're stating, what they will say.
Well, you know, I think people that are homework advocates have kind of shifted the terrain of the discussion as a result of the work that my co-author and I have done, and other people have come out. There's been 3 books this fall out about, you know, the problems with homework. And, I mean, you know, when our book came out in 2000, the debate was really very narrowly centered on the question of academic achievement rates. And now the debate has really shifted to the question about, I hate to use the term, but laziness in kids. So people that are in favor of homework see homework as a way to keep kids away from the TV, away from video games, away from getting in trouble, that it's a way kind of to control the negative impulses of childhood.
Mm. Yeah. And do they see what you're talking about as maybe a way of pampering kids too much, or?
Well, I mean, certainly I've been accused of it. Or, I mean, I think we've been accused of coddling children or of not holding kids to high enough standards.
Right, right. Now, I live in a college town, and I know that most parents in this area would probably say their children didn't get enough homework.
Right.
So tell me about that when you hear that.
Well, I mean, I think there is a belief among parents that homework contributes to a child's ability to do well in college and to succeed, to come through high school strongly, to get into the college of their choice, and then to do well. And that parents in, I mean, I don't know what kind of community you live in, but typically it's upper middle class communities where parents are very driven for themselves and then also for their children.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of see homework as part of a pattern of behavior that kids need to demonstrate so they can be successful. Because life is hard, and you have to work hard, and there's a lot of competition. There's a lot of competition to get into college. And so I want my kid on that treadmill.
Mm-hmm.
And for the most part, the parents' experience is driving the expectations that they have about their kids being able to be as driven as they are. Now, I don't want to talk about that particularly, the parent-child kind of relationship, but I think what happens is schools respond to the drivenness of parents in those kinds of communities.
Mm.
And so the school says the parents want more homework. And sometimes the parents say, well, the school wants less homework. So there's this disconnect between the school and the parents. Because I think for the most part, teachers and principals understand the limitations of homework as a device to develop kids' sense of motivation and discipline and all those other things.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a short break. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Thanks for staying with us. Today, we're speaking with Etta Kralovec, who is the co-author of The End of Homework, and we're speaking about the issue of homework and how it affects our children and whether it's positive or negative in their lives. What do you think that homework takes away from, or what's your view about the negative effects of doing too much homework for children?
Well, I mean, I think there's a number of negative effects that that are sort of centered in different places. In one case, I think the impact on the relationship between the child and the parent is enormous, and is enormously negatively impacted by homework. And there's some very fascinating research out of Teachers College at Columbia University where they actually went into homes and analyzed the conversation between parents and children around homework. And what they found was we all know that the parent-child relationship is difficult enough at best.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll just leave that there. But what happens with homework is that the child reverts back into a role of being a student. And the parent becomes or has to become a teacher, quote-unquote, and plays a role with their child. So suddenly, the parent-child relationship is overlaid with these two roles that neither are comfortable with. The child doesn't want to be a student 24/7. I mean, kids go to school, they struggle through being in school, but when they get done, they want to be kids again.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to be, quote-unquote, a student. And for most parents, you know, school was not a particularly great experience. So they're sort of playing this role of the teacher, and so it puts this very difficult strain on the parent-child relationship. So I think there's that piece of it that is probably, in the long run, the most negative impact of homework is on that very tenuous relationship. I think there's another problem that's associated with parents' educational agendas for their kids. I mean, we all have things that we want to teach our children, whether those things are religious practices, how to take care of a house, how to take care of ailing grandparents, whatever. So there's all these things that parents want to teach their children, but they don't have an opportunity to do that because the school has kind of colonized family time.
Right.
So the parent can't really educate their kids the way they want to. So their educational agenda is on hold while they finish the work of the school day.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think there's the impact on the child. And, you know, kids are more than cognitive machines. You know, they're budding scientists, they're artists, they're musicians, they're spiritual beings, they're siblings, they're grandchildren. I mean, there's all these other parts of children that aren't expressed in the day-to-day routine of school and homework and cognitive development and math and science and English. And so if we take the time that the children have at home and force them to remain in this very narrow kind of modality, learning modality, all those other parts of them get truncated, and the development of those other parts of them is shortchanged.
That's so important, I think. And even with, I see with my own child, she wants to sit and read, and she could just read for hours, but she most of the time doesn't have that kind of luxury. She's only in sixth grade, but she gets so much homework, she doesn't really get to just read for pleasure. And that seems really sad to me. I read somewhere, and I know we can always find studies on both sides of the aisle, but I was reading one of the studies, I think it was from an article that you had spoken in, that said that there were a study in other countries that the countries that gave less homework were performing better on some math tests. And can you tell me about that research?
Well, you know, that was, there's this TIMSS study, which is an international test that's given, I think, every 4 years in math and science, and it's given to kids around the world. And recently, they've begun asking questions on those tests about how much homework the kids have done, because they wanted to track homework practices internationally. And one of the things they couldn't really understand is they were finding that those countries that gave less homework, those students had higher test scores in the TIMSS test. And it was actually a curious thing for people in education, because you would think the opposite, or we're taught to believe the opposite. So in a recent study that analyzed that data, one of the things that they found and then suggested is that in those countries where they give less homework, they spend less time in the classroom assigning homework, working on homework, correcting homework, and they spend more time on straight instruction. So it seems that homework actually limits instructional time in the classroom. And there's only been one analysis of the TIMSS data, and we're expecting to see a lot more analysis of that. But this question of instructional time is something people have begun looking at in relation to homework. Because the fact of the matter is, homework takes a tremendous amount of time out of a classroom day, whether we're talking about elementary school or high school.
How is that? Can you explain that a little more?
Well, let's say we're in a middle school math class, and let's say that the periods are 45 minutes long. So typically, a teacher will assign homework and then give the kids time to finish it, because the teachers know a lot of the kids aren't going to be able to do it at home. So the class time might be cut short 10 or 15 minutes so the kids can get, quote-unquote, get started on their homework, and the teacher can help them get started on the homework. And then when the kids come back the next day, there's going to be 10 or 15 minutes at the start of the day when they're going to either collect and correct the homework, they're going to trade papers, you remember. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, we all remember the start of any, especially math class or English class, where we corrected homework.
Mm-hmm.
And so what the analysis of the TIMSS data suggested was that there's 15 or 20 minutes in any classroom period that's devoted to homework, which means that it's not devoted to direct instruction with the students.
Right. Now, some people talk about homework as reinforcing what they've learned. Is there some validity to that?
Well, I mean, I think everyone believes, myself included, that learning needs to be reinforced, that kids need to do independent study themselves so they can actually conquer new knowledge and build new mental frameworks for themselves. The question, I think, is whether or not that's best done at home where there is no support that is coming from the teacher. So if I'm in school and I've got all my teachers there, it's really easy for me to ask a question about something that I'm trying to learn or something that I'm trying to reinforce. But if I'm at home, I don't necessarily have somebody that can help me reinforce that new information. And I think one of the interesting things is some of the teachers that have been the most sort of critical of homework and have actually quit assigning it are math teachers, where we think the kids need to have that reinforcing activity, so we believe that homework's a good thing in math. But math teachers understand that if kids take work home and they don't really understand the concept, they can spend all this time memorizing stuff and they're learning the wrong thing.
Right.
And so what has to happen the next day in the classroom is the teacher has to actually unteach what the students learned at home, and it's through their reinforcement homework activities.
And I would also think that that would put children at a disadvantage if their parents aren't around, and sort of an inherent bias there of those who have parents available to them.
Well, there's no doubt that homework privileges kids who are already privileged. And, you know, we all know that educational resources are very unequally distributed in this country. So some kids go home to, you know, well-educated parents and computers with access to databases and home libraries and all of the sort of accoutrements of the middle class and upper middle class educational resources in the home, and other kids go home to parents who work at night, who have responsibility for siblings. So the disadvantage to kids who are already disadvantaged of homework is enormous.
Right. And you were mentioning that there are some teachers that you're hearing about who are stopping with homework. Is that a trend, and what are they facing when they make a decision like that?
Well, you know, typically homework policies are set at the district level. And so teachers have to make a pact with the devil, really. They're not going to give homework, you know, because every district has a policy about homework. So teachers that don't give homework are actually operating against district policy, typically. So it's a quiet movement, I would say. But, you know, teachers are really understanding today, as never before, that they're on the hook for student achievement rates. You know, we're holding teachers accountable and schools accountable for student learning. And teachers understand that homework's really a black hole. You know, the homework goes home. They don't know, the teacher doesn't know who's done the homework. Maybe the parents did it. Maybe the siblings did it. So it, for a teacher who's concerned about student achievement rates, it represents an unknown quantity to them. So I think teachers are beginning to understand that they can't rely on homework as a building block for student achievement, because they really can't trust that students have actually done their own homework.
Right, right. So this is really interesting, but we do have to end. And I'm wondering if you could give us a vision, your vision, of what the ideal world would look like in terms of homework for children.
Well, you know, I think school should be open longer. I think that school doesn't need to end at 2:20, and that there should be time and space in schools for kids to do independent work and to reinforce what they've learned during the day, where all students have equal access to educational resources, where schools are actually places where kids study rather than just go to class. I mean, I think we could redesign schools as study spaces, and kids could be there working, and that the teachers could be there to help them learn.
Okay.
And when the school day is over, they go home, and they have a private life, just like we all hope that when we go home from work, we can have a private life.
Right. It's amazing to see the similarities between our working lives and what we're doing with children in school.
Scary.
Yeah. Thank you so much for taking time. This has been so interesting. And if people want to learn more, do you have suggestions for them?
Well, you know, there's our book, The End of Homework, which came out in 2000. There's Alfie Cohen's got a new book out this fall, as does Sarah Bennett and Nancy Kanich, I think, is the co-author of that book. But people are certainly welcome to email me. You know, my email is Etta, ETTA, and then the number 1 at mac.com, and I love to hear from people, and we're working on a new book. And I guess what I would like to say to parents is they need to get organized. This is an organizational problem. This is a consciousness-raising problem. And parents need to really not be afraid to ask schools to consider public discussions on the subject of homework.
Great advice. Okay, thank you so much.
Thanks, Deborah.
Okay, take care, Etta.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you so much for joining us for It's About Time. We always welcome your comments and your story ideas. You can email them to itsabouttimeradio@comcast.net. The show has been produced in association with Take Back Your Time, a national initiative challenging overwork, overscheduling, and time poverty. You can find out more about them at timeday.org.
Leave them kids alone.